chocolate.
You're rolling center.
Chocolate's not.
Chocolate is loaded with carbohydrates. It's nothing but carbohydrates. It's just happy.
But it's one of the main.
Well, it makes you happy, yeah, but. Makes you happy. So does Jenny. Oh. This meeting of the Environment and Energy Committee will come back to order. We have two issues up this afternoon, and three of the bills, the first three are very similar. I think what we're going to do is start with Senator Lurie's bill. He's in the room, and he has a couple witnesses. And I believe I'll speak while he's here. I believe Senator Tomasoni is out of town, and he's happy to have his bill presented. But he realizes his bill is similar to other two bills, and so we'll start with Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So we have Senate File 708 dealing with our soil and water conservation districts, an issue that comes up on occasion around the difficulties soil and water districts often have getting the budgets they need to provide the critical services that they do. I'll just speak briefly to the nuts and bolts of how Senate File 708 would work, and then I will leave it to the testifiers to kind of describe the need for it. So Section 1 of the bill just requires a county board to levy an annual tax to pay for the budget submitted by a soil and water conservation district. Currently, that is an option for the counties, and this would make it so that it was a requirement. And the county board may appeal the budget to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, the Bowser, and it allows Section 2 allows Bowser to audit the budgets of SWCDs in order to determine if the SWCD has adequate funding to comply with the statewide programs and policies, and to review the county board appeals of soil and water conservation district noncompliance with statewide programs and policies. So it's a pretty straightforward bill. It moves it from an optional levy to a mandatory one. And with that, I will ask Mark Thell to offer some additional testimony.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the tape.
I'm Mark Thell, supervisor for the Carlton County Soil and Water District, and also Area 3 director sitting on the MACD board. I'll start, and thank you for hearing us, Mr. Chairman and committee. I'll start with a cute little story about my daughter and her five-year-old. She's in church, and she's trying to get her daughter to be a little bit quiet, and she's whispering, shh, and that's not working. So then she's finally looks over, and he whispers in her ear, Kira, you got to be quiet. Half the congregation's asleep. and that's kind of the feeling. I just wanted to start out with what's happening with so many of our districts is our commissioners and our administrators are not listening to the message that we keep on bringing them, asking for funding. We feel like I've got a list of districts in my area that I want to talk somewhat about. The first one is North St. Louis. I think you've heard of that's the canary in the coal mine here. That issue that somebody wrote, a staff member wrote a letter to the editor. It blew up on everybody, and so the county basically defunded the district. Thanks to good work by Bowser and some of the efforts of the MACD, that district is coming back online. But we've lost all of this time. And it's a simple matter of, do we consider soil and water districts essential, and should they be funded with this kind of language, or are we going to continue the efforts of saying they're non-essential, that it's up to the county's discretion to fund them? We have to have the base dollars coming from the county so we can fund these staff. We have an excellent story up in Cook County where the staff working with our TSA engineers and Lutz and Mountain wrote a grant. They picked up $800,000, and Lutz and Mountain matched $200,000 to clean up the Poplar River. In the process, the county, because there was there's administration money for that Soil and Water District. They took a few dollars away from them for their good efforts. And as we all know, when we do projects, they're not. We have income coming from those projects. It's short-term for the work that we do on them. But these are long-term projects that have to be mentored and monitored for 10 years, typically. That's as a supervisor. When I'm sitting on as chairman of a board, I sign for that 10-year commitment. And that's, again, another reason why we want something in statute defining why we need this commitment from the county, so that we always have the ability, when we sign a contract, that we can fund the staff to make sure that work is followed up and monitored in the process. Another excellent example of how these districts save money. Back in 1999, the city of Two Harbors had a massive flood event. They did a lot of work to correct it, but the Soil and Water District, along with the University of Minnesota, they got coastal money, and they did a program, and they implemented it. The city had to come up with about $80,000, but there was all kinds of matching grants that went through with that. And by the time they got that program done, when the solstice flood of 2012 hit, that city had minimum damage on their storm system. Calculate out what $80,000, if that program wasn't done through the efforts of the Soil and Water taking the lead. We have a lot of small cities in this state. My own little city of Renshaw, we helped them with sealing wells, because so many of our townships and our cities do not have the resources of the engineers that the TSAs that are under our jurisdiction to help for engineering and the good works that happen. In the same vein, some of the other problems we see, we have these successes because counties do provide some of the money for these districts. We have a Kanawha County that right now has two staff people. They have no benefits, and they have to replace a district manager. And the job market is for qualified people to do that work. It's going to be extremely hard for them to do that. The other success I really want to compliment the legislature and the committee is the good work that we get accomplished by the Conservation Corps. Throughout the years, we've done projects where we have young teenagers that are going to school that they need to be mentored. That project has been working extremely well for us. They come in and do our work with us, work with our technicians, and they get training. We've hired them through the mentorship program. So please, whatever you do, keep that program alive and going. And I'll turn my attention, okay, Mr. Chairman, over to my fellow supervisor from Pine County. He has some literature he passed out to you, and he'd like to talk to you about Pine County. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sell. Mr. Swaim? Welcome to the committee, and just please identify yourself. And then go ahead.
Hi, my name is Tom Swaim. I'm from Pine County Soil and Water. I'm one of the supervisors. I feel a somewhat unique story. I passed it out to the members of the committee here, and I'll just briefly go over what it says for the rest of the people in attendance. And I do want to thank Senator Lori for stepping up and trying to help us out with this. And I want to thank the committee for letting me have a chance to speak. I've got a timeline. In 2009-2010, our rent was going up in the NRCS building. So we moved to a county building and then refunded the amount of money that we saved back to the county. In 2011, we lost $40,000 from the county due to they felt that we had a rep that we should get rid of, a technical rep. We didn't feel that way, and the county attorney also agreed with us. What we have done with that person is changed them to where they are now an asset to our program. There are no longer any complaints about what was being done, her interactions with our landowners, and in fact, there's compliments. So we've fixed that problem. In losing that $40,000, we had to cut our staff. We lost one of our administrative people. We took the manager and one of our techs and moved them back to 32 hours a week, and the other tech we moved back to 24 hours a week. The supervisors took a per diem cut of $20 a meeting. This was so we could stay solvent. I think that has hurt us in the fact that our budget is lower now and we're not able to receive as much money through some of the bills that are there. So the bill that we're talking about is the one that allows us to work with our budget, and it has the checks and balances in it. So we feel that's best way for us to get back to where we can deliver to the landowners in Pine County at the level that they deserve to be done. After the 2012 and 2013, we submitted a budget request that for more money. We didn't get any. They said no. 2014, they gave half of it back. We at that point gave our employees a small raise. It's the first raise they'd had in 5 years. Now, remembering they lost all their benefits at the when we made the cuts. So they've been since 2011 with no health care benefits whatsoever. In 2015, we went back and requested additional money to get back to where we were, and they didn't think we were high enough priority to hardly even talk to us. So we really, really need to be able to participate in our funding. And that's why I'm here today, and that's the stand of ours. It would be a big help. I would support anything that comes out of the legislature that helps us recover funding. I don't have a real preference other than the fact I would like it to be stable and happen year after year without having to come back and lobby for more money. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you. Questions from the committee for any of the folks up there? And Senator Lori, did you have any other comments or?
Mr. Chair, I would just appreciate member support. I would open it up for questions as well. I think there may be another group that would like to offer some testimony. I maybe with some concerns. There's been a couple of folks who have come forward with some, but you'd have to open it up to see if they wish to come forward.
Maybe what we'll do is after, because I know Senator Sparks is here as well, have his bill presented, and if there is anybody wishes to speak for or against a particular bill, that would make sense for them to do then, unless committee members would rather deal with now. Senator Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Senator Lori, just so I understand, what your bill does is it requires the county, so whatever the Board of Soil and Water of that district indicates, the county is required to do it, and there's no alternative for the county other than to appeal. They don't have control over this, so in effect, the county is going to be held, if I'm in a county, I will have to raise taxes even though I didn't have any control over that. Is that what this is really doing?
Mr. Chair, Senator Osmick, essentially yes.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a further discussion?
Commissioner Thel would like to
please go ahead if you want to speak to it. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to just remember my opening story was talking about the ones that are asleep. The rest of them are wide awake. We have so many good counties out there that are doing this. So in a sense, we're not asking for tax money. We're trying to level the playing field with this language to bring it up so that across the state, all these districts are being funded. And the intent of the original law was that we would present our budget. We would sit down as ladies and gentlemen and discuss that budget, and the counties would fund the district so that we could have the staff doing that essential work that I call essential. And there is a host of, let's be honest, there's a host of counties that are really doing a great job out there with funding us. We just have a few that absolutely think that this is a non-essential service, which the majority of us think are essential. Thank you.
Senator Benson, did you have...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Laurie, I'm just doing kind of the check. So Soil and Water Conservation District requests a budget. The county appropriates money. And then the state entity that's responsible for monitoring the Soil and Water Conservation Districts determines if the county has a right to appeal. It doesn't seem like there's actually a place for the county to appeal. Bowser is responsible for the Soil and Water Conservation Resources. Water and Soil Resources. Do you think there's enough independence between Soil and Water Conservation Boards and Bowser for Bowser to be the appropriate appeal point, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, Senator Benson, I'm willing to entertain questions about this. I mean, I worked with staff. With council. I think that there's an oversight role currently existing with Bowser, looking over the budgets of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. If members have another idea about how to put that proper checks and balances in there, I'd be willing to work on it. This is a first draft.
So, thank you. We appreciate that, and I think what we'll do is take Senator Sparks' bill up then as well and his witness or witnesses, and then we can ask people who have concerns about either of the bills. And I don't know if either Senate Council of Research wants to comment on Senator Scoy's bill, how it fits in with these two after Senator Sparks presents his bill, if you want to comment on that as well. Thank you very much. Senator Sparks,
thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you.
Why don't we take you next? Senate File 1158. And there is a delete everything amendment to put the bill in the shape the author would like that. Senator Hoffman moves the A4 amendment to put the bill in the shape Senator Sparks wants to present it in. Is that correct, Senator Sparks?
That is correct, Mr. Chair and members.
On that author's motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. So we'll be dealing with the A4 amendment for what you wanted to present.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for the opportunity to present Senate File 1158 and for adopting the A4 amendment. This has been a work in progress, and certainly appreciate you, Mr. Chair, and members hearing this bill today. Goes along with Senator Laurie's bill and I think Senator Scoy's too, that we're all trying to address the problem, just trying to figure out the best way that we can do that. As you all know, Soil and Water Conservation Districts do great work implementing conservation measures. They provide technical expertise, but more importantly, they are trusted community members and are able to work with landowners on valued conservation projects. The issue of stable, long-term funding and establishing more equity among districts has long been an issue for the Soil and Water Conservation Districts. In working with the Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, we explored a number of options to address funding issues, and I hope we have arrived at one that will address our issues and that the legislature can support this session, Mr. Chair. At this time, I'm going to turn over. We were supposed to have Ian Cunningham from Pipestone travel here today, but obviously, Senator Weber, the roads are not too nice in southern Minnesota, and he was not able to make it today, but we have a very adequate backup, and Mr. Kurt Beckstrom from Mille Lacs that would like to speak to you a little bit more, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and I want to acknowledge that Mr. Cunningham did come here last week, I believe Senator Weber said, when we had the committee bounce because of floor session, so we're sorry he couldn't make it, but welcome to the committee, and please go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Kurt Beckstrom. I serve as the vice president currently of the Minnesota Association of Soil Water Conservation Districts. I'm also a locally elected board member from the Mille Lacs County Soil Water Conservation Districts, and thank you again for the opportunity to speak on Senate File 1158. I'd also like to especially thank Senator Sparks for his support and his great work on this bill. Mr. Chair, I'd like to begin my comments with a little background on SWCDs and then get into some fiscal issues that we're facing and finally how this bill addresses those issues through statutory changes and general fund appropriation. little bit on the background. Minnesota SWCD is our special purpose local units of state government established under state law, Minnesota Statute Chapter 103C. That is to carry out conservation programs at the local level. SWCDs are unique in their work. They work with private landowners and help them manage and protect land and water resources on all private lands. Each SWCD has a 5-member locally elected board of supervisors to set policies, provide local input, ensure oversight and accountability for the district. These are all 5 on every soil water district that I know. These are passionate board members who feel very strongly about doing good works that improve, protect, and preserve our natural resources. And this can be evidenced even in the weather we had today with the number of supervisors that were able to make the trip down here. SWCDs provide tremendous state benefits. Some are seen, some are unseen. There are structural conservation practices easy to see. Not so easy to see are the important management practices of that SWCDs implement. Regardless of whether we see it or not, SWCD work is critical in making sure that all Minnesotans benefit through the protection of our soils, our lakes, our streams, and our rivers. None of our work is automatic or accidental. It must be planned for, promoted, funded, installed, and reported on in great detail, all across the state and in cooperation with landowners and managers. As our state's soil water resources face greater threats, the demands on SWCDs grows greater, and we are now the local implementers to make sure that our state stays on track with state and federal conservation programs. The fiscal issues we're facing, while the need has grown, it has not been coupled with the funding necessary to meet the need, which is why we are before you here today. Currently, funding for SWCDs falls far short of providing the necessary resources to meet our statutory obligations. Many SWCDs face volatility in their day-to-day operations due to varied funding at the county level and insufficient state resources. State resources that are available are mostly competitive and directed at projects, and believe me, that's where we want them to go, is to the project, not to the administration. But it still takes people with knowledge and expertise to make these projects happen. This creates an inadequate patchwork that severely limits our ability to meet the established local and state priorities in managing our soil and water. Recognizing the trouble on the horizon, our association convened an internal task force to look at SWCD funding issues and how we might solve them. We conducted outreach with various stakeholders, including organizations representing farmers, environmentalist groups, wildlife groups, the business communities, as well as state and federal agencies and other local government associations. Input was received through this outreach and reflected a shared recognition of the value of SWCDs and the need for additional funding. We then set out to actually quantify the funding needs. An analysis by the Board of Soil and Water Resources has calculated the current shortfall in local conservation delivery capacity at $22 million per year across all SWCDs in the state. Recognizing this as a policy committee, I will focus on the policies in this bill, but I certainly recognize that the state investment contemplated in this legislation goes a long way to ensuring the SWCDs are poised for success in protecting the state's water and soil resources. And how this bill addresses the issues through statutory changes, Section 1, 103C, 333 would be new language that would allow county levy allocation to be done similar to county funding for metropolitan surface water management, which already exists in statutes, Section 103B.253, 275.07, and 275.066. It gives the county authority to designate the current county allocation to SWCDs as a special taxing district separate from the regular county budget or levy. This can heighten awareness of the SWCD while not creating any new taxing entities. Again, this would not be creating a new special taxing entity. Instead, it would be a simple addition to the county authority that already exists in 103B and 275. Sections 2 and 3 are conforming changes to 275.077, special taxing districts, and 275.07, this certification of levy. And then Section 4 is the appropriation language. It provides $11 million per year in state funding to SWCDs, an amount that recognizes the current county appropriation to SWCDs, providing an incentive to counties to contribute more to the SWCD. Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you again for your time and consideration today. I would also once again like to thank Senator Sparks. And at this time, we'll take any questions that may come up.
Thank you, Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for your testimony, and really thank you for what the Soil and Water Conservation Districts do for all of Minnesota, metro and rural as well. And I'm wondering, since you're working on this bill, is this your preferred one of these three bills that we're looking at? Or haven't you chosen your favorite child yet?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Scalzi, the need is great. The need is great, and this is the bill that the state association at a board meeting did motion to endorse. Yes, I will not hesitate to say that the other bills have advantages also. So, I will not speak against them.
Thank you.
There are questions, if Senator Weber.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. Have you had any feedback from the Association of Minnesota Counties as it relates to this particular bill?
Mr. Chair and Senator Weber, I believe that since we've been working hard on this, I think, and that we obviously could hear from them, that they were going to review which bill would move forward, or if one does move forward, and then report back to us. But we'll certainly continue to work with them and happily do that if this bill or the other bills would move forward.
And Senator Sparks or Mr. Beckstrom, this, in effect, the county is the one doing the levying, but it's a separate line on the tax form and so on. That's correct, right?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it is.
And then for the money, we won't get into the appropriations much. I just was curious. The intent here is a $40,000 base amount, and then they could get up to $50,000 on top of that in the matching the $125 to $1 match?
Correct.
And so that, you're saying $90,000 would be the state plus the $40,000 match? Mr. Knopf can explain this one, and then maybe could go into directly Senator Scoy's bill, which is similar to this.
Mr. Chair, members, there are three levels of grants that are available to the Soil and Water Conservation District under this proposal. The $40,000 is without match. That's a base grant.
Yes.
That would be given to all soil and water conservation districts regardless of match. Then you see on 3.11, the money remaining after the base amount is available for matching grants of up to $50,000. That's on top of the $40,000, but it must be matched at a rate of $1.25 in matching grants for each $1 of county allocation. So if the county allocates another $40,000, then the district would receive a $50,000 additional grant. And then you can see there's a third level, and to go beyond that, if there are soil and water conservation districts, or counties, I should say, that want to allocate more money, they can go beyond that for a third level, which is a rate of 65 cents in state matching grant for each dollar. So it changes a little bit. They get less state money per dollar of county allocation, but it does allow to go beyond that for some counties that may want to go beyond the 50 plus the 240s $130,000. So it allows them to go, some counties to go beyond that if they want to, in providing money to their soil and water conservation districts.
Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Knopf, does the last line there regarding Bowser's authority to reduce a county's natural resources block grant, if they reduce funding, is that as a result of receipt of any of those three grants that you outlined?
Yes, Mr. Chair. As I understand, that last sentence is based on the concern that at the $40,000 level, a county might want to back off from what they give right now to a soil and water conservation district. This would allow the board, and this language existed in the appropriation bill for many years back in the 90s and early 2000s. back in the 90s, the Sonoran Conservation Districts were given a bump, and so this was included, had been included for many years, but since we haven't given them any kind of an increase, in fact, they've been getting decreases in recent years, this language has been dropped from the appropriation bill, but it is very similar to something that we carried for many years. And that's to make sure that a county doesn't unduly deallocate or defund a soil and water conservation district because of this new state money that's coming in.
I have one more question, maybe for it's Mr. Beckstrom. With the $22 million appropriation, $11 million a year appropriation, you say if money's left over, assuming all the counties raised their appropriated $40,000 so they'd get the $90,000 from the state. Does that, where's the $11 million falling? Is that what the $11 million would cover, that much? And then in other words, this third level is just if some of the counties didn't do the full amount. How much does $11 million pay for?
Mr. Chair, may I bring Mr. Thomas from Bowser in to answer that question in more detail?
I just wanted a quick answer. Sure. This is not the Finance Committee. Yeah, I just wanted to get a quick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Doug Thomas with the Board of Water and Soil Resources. The quick answer to the question is, as Mr. Knopf indicated with the three tiers, the funding for that based on current county allocations of roughly $9.8 million, that would, using the formulaire, would be $11.7 million. So the $11 million is just a little less than that. To fully fund the first two tiers that were talked about, would be roughly $8 million. So the additional amount would be allocated, as basically acknowledgement of those counties that are levying significantly more money that also have additional programming needs.
Okay. Thank you. And are there any more questions about this one? If not, I wanted to have Mr. Knopf explain the difference between Senator Scoy's bill.
Well, Mr. Chair, with the A4 amendment, it got a little more complicated to explain the differences. Let me just explain that both Senator Sparks and Senator Scoy talked to me a while back about bills for this purpose. And so basically, as the bills were introduced, they were identical except for the level of funding and the level of the grants that were available. But what's, I'll tell you, one of the differences in Senator Scoy's bill in Senate File 896 is that it requires the county to do it as a special levy. And Senator Sparks' bill also had a similar provision. At the hearing last Thursday, some of the advocacy groups were concerned. They didn't understand that it was going to be mandatory that a county, that counties couldn't continue to do it the way they do now and just basically supply money to the Soil and Water Conservation District, but it would be within the county's levy and would show up just as the county levy and not as a special taxing district levy. So the A4 amendment does a number of things, but one of the things that it does is provides that the counties have that option. Senator Scoy's bill, still as originally introduced, would require counties to do it as a special taxing levy. So that's one big difference. The other one is the level of funding and the level of the grants. Senator Scoy's bill, currently the Soil and Water Conservation Districts get a little over $1.7 million, I think, in general service grants. And Senator Scoy was looking at a kind of a tripling of that. That's where he came up with the $5.1 million. And that would be, and then he has just the two levels of grant funding. And then the first level is the $20,000 that's added to the existing appropriation. Generally, I think Soil and Water Conservation Districts get roughly about $20,000 for this purpose. There's some differences among them. And so his plan was, and then we'd go $40,000 on top, and the thought is that would spend all of the money. It also has a matching at $1.25 for each dollar of district match. So it's very similar, although it does have the requirement for the special levy, and the funding level is lower. And again, some changes have been made in Senator Sparks' bill and how that funding works, including that third tier of grant program. That's different from the Scoy bill. If you have any questions, I can answer them. But I think that gives you the basics on the difference between the two bills.
Mr. Knopf, just one more question then, looking at the two bills. Just to get a sense of where we are, the Scoy bill, it says from the appropriation, each SWCD shall receive an increase of $20,000 above the base amount in the general service grant. And Senator Sparks's has a grant a base amount of $40,000? Are we talking $40,000, or are we just different wording for it, or is one a grant of $40,000 more than they're getting now?
Mr. Chair, my preference was in the Squire bill, but the advocates wanted it the way it's in the Sparks bill. And the amendment now, it is $40,000 on top of what they get now. I thought it should be clear, but that's not necessarily my call. And so the $20,000, so that both bills, the SCOI bill would be $20,000, the base grant would go up by $20,000 on top of what they're getting now. The Sparks bill would go up by $40,000 on top of what they're getting now. My understanding is the $40,000 would be in addition, even though it doesn't explicitly state that in the language.
Oh, that's a Finance Committee issue, but I will encourage the Finance Committee members to make it clear what their intent is on that, whether it's an increase of 40 or a base amount of 40, because this says base amount, and that's why I was curious about what the intent was. Is there anybody who wanted to speak to any of the three bills or concerns about any of the three bills or general testimony? It looks like Mr. Peterson is coming. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, members. And my name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union. And we just wanted to, we're still looking at the A4 and how that works. But in general, we've supported levy authority for soil and water districts because I feel when we've had our policy discussions within Farmers Union, we've always seen the value that soil and water districts provide. And then looking across the state, the uneven funding that people have, we're leaving a lot of money on the table. So there's money that the state puts out into programs. There's lots of Farm Bill dollars. Minnesota's one of the bigger users of Farm Bill conservation dollars, and we should be. We're also we have a lot of water, and we have a lot of issues that deal with water. And so it always pains me when I talk to a farmer and they say, they're looking at this program or that program, and I'd say, how did that go? And they said, I got about halfway through, and I threw it in the garbage can, or I just couldn't work it out. And then you'll talk to another farmer who had the help of soil and water technical assistance. They had the promotion in the first place from the soil and water district on the program, and they put a great practice in place. So your committee, the policy you look at all the time, wetlands, buffers, all the different water quality issues, these are important. And the policy of providing more money to soil and water districts, we feel, is very important. Appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm gathering all the advocates would like any of the increases, which all three bills do give for funding, and there are different ways of doing it. Is there anybody else who wish to testify on any of the bills? Is there any more questions from members of the committee? We have somebody who wants to make a motion on one of the bills. Senator Hoffman wants to make a motion on Senate file.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Where does this bill go from here?
This bill will be going to the Finance Committee first, and I think it will end up in Senator Scoia's committee after that.
We had a bet going on.
Mr. Chair, so is A bill, or we could fire all three of them and let them figure it out?
We could fire all three, but I will suggest we will take a motion on one bill.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Weber.
I'd like to thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to know what Senator Rosen won, but
I'll move 1158, Mr. Chair.
That question wasn't answered, Senator Weber. Senator Hoffman moves Senate File 1158 as amended with the A4 amendment. Is there a discussion on that? I think the advocates would be pleased any of these steps in the direction, because I want to thank the commissioners who did come for the good work they've been doing. On Senator Hoffman's motion, is there no further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senate File 1158 is recommended to pass as amended, referred to the Committee on Finance. With that, we have one more bill we heard last Thursday. You want to check?
Thanks.
Chair.
Senator Osmick.
Move the A1 amendment.
Thank you. Senator Osmick moves the A1 amendment. Let's take up, we got to take it up first. So, Senate File 1215, Senator Marty. Welcome to your committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 1215, we had testimony on last week. If either side wants to speak more to it again, I will suggest both sides have a chance to do so.
Senator Marty, Senator Osmick moved the A1 amendment from last week.
Yes, the A1 amendment to put the bill in the author's amendment the way you handed out the other bill. Yes, could we vote on that first?
Absolutely. All in favor of the A1 amendments indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Both same sign. Pass. Senator Marty.
And we had some discussion, very brief, but happy to take more discussion. And I will ask if the witnesses on either side feel a pressing need to testify. If they do, I'll suggest both sides can. I'm not hearing a lot of people feeling a need to. That doesn't mean they don't have feelings about the bill, I think. But anyway, I'll move the bill or be happy to answer questions. This bill goes to, I think, Health Committee and then Commerce, I'm assuming.
It goes, Senator Marty, it goes to Health and then to Commerce, correct?
Okay. I'm happy to stand for questions. Otherwise, I'll move the bill.
We'd like Senator Benson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Marty, we have a number of these bills moved through our committee in the last couple of years, and it feels like they don't get anywhere. And I'm just wondering what roadblocks we're running into, because we keep addressing the same kinds of things. This one's a little different than the others we've heard, toys and recalls and can liners and stuff.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, Senator Benson, we, again, a number of substances that have, number of toxic substances that are in a number of our products have come forward. The legislature has passed a number of them. This one, I think a couple of these have been banned from a couple of types of products. I think one of the things we have a Republican House author, chief author, I think one of the things that's changed is more knowledge, one, that these flame retardants aren't making a difference in terms of putting out, in terms of preventing fires, and as you heard last week from the firefighters, just great concern about the much higher cancer risk that they're facing from this, and I think one of the things I took from the testimony last week was Mr. Parsons from the firefighters was talking about how the upholstery that has the flame retardants in double the smoke, and I think he said 40 times the soot, and the soot is what they bring home on their equipment, and the flame retardant dust in fire stations, and unfortunately Mr. Parsons says he brings his home in the back seat of his car, and I guess I think the thing that's changing on this is more knowledge that these things haven't been effective in preventing fires, and California, which is the state that led to all this, because they were the ones who put the fire-resistant provisions into effect in the 1970s. In other words, the entire industry changed because California standards, and California last year dropped that thing they had there. They had a significant change. So it's not like if a state like Minnesota would say, we're going to ban this now, that the industry, oh, no, we've got to make two types, one to meet California and one to meet Minnesota and other states, because I think because California changed it now, I'm expecting a state like Minnesota does this. I think one or two other states will, and I frankly think the industry is going to be responding very quickly, which is, I would argue, for the good of families and our firefighters.
Thank you. Senator Benson.
And thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Marty, for accommodating me. The list of banned chemicals, it looks like 2.1 to 2.12 on the original bill. Is that the sort of lined up with what California did? Is this, I just want to make sure we're not including something that's sort of a one-off.
Senator Marty, looks like you're bringing somebody up to the table.
Ms. Schuler from the Healthy Legacy Coalition, and she can tell you what California.
What?
I mean, if Well, you restate unless you heard the question properly.
Ms. Schuler, please, for the tape, state your name and where you're from.
Yes, Mr. Chair. My name is Kathleen Schuler. I work for Conservation Minnesota, and I'm co-director of the Healthy Legacy Coalition. So, to Mr. Chair, Senator, to answer your question, the California regulation didn't ban flame retardants. It basically required that furniture and children's product withstand an open flame test for, I think, something like 12 seconds. And so for that reason, in order to meet that standard, many manufacturers began adding flame retardants to their polyurethane foam products.
Senator Benson.
So, Mr. Chair, I guess I'll probably have to take it offline. I just want to make sure that there's some consistency. If we're going to put something into statute that bans particular chemicals, that we are lining up with what's happening in other states or what might be moving forward. So I didn't phrase the question correctly.
Senator Benson, thank you. Senator John.
Mr. Chair, Senator Benson, I think Marty. I heard what your question was, and I asked Ms. Schuler while you were asking it again, and that was, are any of these 10 chemicals still required in California kind of thing? And she said no.
Okay.
But maybe Mr. Parsons is... If that does that answer your question?
Yes, that's fine. That's good. And I just have one more question.
Senator Benson.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Marty, there were some questions about the timeline. Have you talked with stakeholders that were concerned about the timeline, and are we going to be making changes as this goes forward?
Senator Marty.
I'm Mr. Chair, Senator Benson. We had the July 2018 can't offer for sale any of these things. And I have not heard from Mr. Quillis testify last time about that, but he didn't raise with me anything about timelines. I'm certainly open to it. We have two more committees. I know you're on one of them, the next one it goes to. I'm certainly open to hearing about that. I'd rather it be sooner rather than later, but I'm also certainly open to hearing about possible concerns.
Great. Senator Benson, follow-up. Senator Weber, did you have a hand up or no? Okay.
I was just going to mention, Mr. Chairman, thank you, that probably the overall lesson we should learn from this is very seldom should we follow California's lead on a lot of things. So,
get my rim shot out for you there, Senator. That's good. Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, sometimes that's true. This is one case where we didn't follow them. Nobody, the industry decided, well, we're going to do it that way, and I would appreciate your support for this. I think it's very important, and I think the testimony from both the Healthy Legacy and the firefighters was very helpful last week. So I'll move the bill. I wonder if
you can buy. You move Senate File 1215 to be passed moved over to Health. Is that correct?
I believe
as amended.
As amended.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All the opposed, same sign. It is passed. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, before
Senator
we
Marty.
Adjourn, Senator Coonan wanted to, I believe, move Senator Lori's bill on the earlier one. It is a different approach to the other ones. The other two are fairly similar, just dollar amounts, basically.
Senator Coonan.
I'll have Senator Lori move up here again.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And I would like to move Senate File 708 to finance, is that right? To finance.
Senator Coonan moves Senate File 708 to go to finance.
Mr. Chair, I don't think it has anything to do with state government finance. With finance from state government, it would only be local financing. I was thinking that one would be in taxes because it has to do with the county authority to levy a tax or requirement to levy a tax.
Mr. Coney, you want to renew your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw that motion and make a new one. I move that Senate File 708 go to taxes.
Thank you. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Congratulations,
Thank
Senator
Thank you, Mr.
Lori.
Chair and members.
All right.
You can adjourn.
We are now adjourned.
Be more appropriate tax.
Oh, that one doesn't appropriate general funds.
Doesn't say anybody else.